extend my welcome to you. My name is Jonna Fonts. I'm one of the pastors here, and I'm so glad that you're here on this Thanksgiving season. I don't know how your festivals and feasts went, but I'm a little thicker than I was going into Thursday. But hey, we've got Christmas, right? That'll help. So really, really glad that you're here this morning. And it is what we call Advent. So it's a really quick changeover from fall toward waiting for Christmas. And what Advent is it's a four-week period of time where we spend preparing for Christmas. Now, in our culture, as you all know too well already probably, it is a crazy season. It's just insane. Between gift buying and gift wrapping and gift giving and parties to attend and parties to throw, traditions to be celebrated and maybe some to be avoided, cookies and trees to decorate, candy and dinners to cook, concerts and festive events to attend, and all that endless shopping, we find ourselves racing through the next 4 weeks trying to keep up with expectations and dreams. So much to accomplish, so much fun to have, so many memories to make. And with all that must be managed and attended to, we can end up at the end of this season feeling tired and wistful, as though despite all that we did, everything that we accomplished and pulled off, something very important was missed. Now, that wistful feeling, that kind of hollow feeling, often comes in our lives when we have been taking care of all the external demands with such a devotion that the internal demands of our souls have been ignored. And at its most extreme, should you live your life this way, should you live your life busily attending to the external demands, you would come to the end of your life, joining in the words from Lamentations, saying, "Meaningless, meaningless, all is meaningless." Let's say you don't take it to that extreme, that you're just that way for the next 4 weeks, crazy, busy, working those to-do lists, making sure everybody's happy, and not listening to your own soul. You'll finish this holiday season feeling just a little disappointed and glad that all the fuss is over. See, today we begin a sermon series where we are trying to inoculate you against that hollow feeling. We're calling it Inside Out Christmas. Each Sunday, we're going to explore one of the characters of Christmas to see how they tended to their souls during that first Christmas experience. And we want to draw on their ancient wisdom, so that we can maybe try some of the practices they tried. Our prayer is that as we are faithful to that inner journey of Christmas, that it will change and guide all the hustle and bustle of the season. So we pray that this is a gift to you. So we are going to start in our Christmas story with the character of Mary. I've always been fascinated with her. Maybe it's because growing up in my little Baptist church, I got to play the character of Mary a lot at the Christmas pageant. But some of the things I've learned in adulthood about her is that in biblical times, you were an adult at the age of 13. And we know that Mary is getting married, so she's probably around that age. Now, that sounds kind of shocking to our modern ears. We have an extended childhood in our culture that lasts all the way through adolescence, and even now they say it's lasting longer, kind of into the 20s. But in Mary's world, 13 is the time to take responsibility and make the big decisions of your life. Now, in the midst of this big time for her, her parents are not mentioned. So it could be that she has left home and is a part of another household right now, or perhaps her parents are dead. We're not sure. We do know that she has a cousin who's from a priestly clan. Her name is Elizabeth. Historians notice that Mary calls herself a handmaiden. This is in the midst of her life-upending encounter with the angel Gabriel. And these historians think that maybe because she reaches for that image so quickly, that she's a servant. So she's already serving in a wealthy household. When we meet her, she has already found her partner for life. It's Joseph. And she has chosen to give herself to taking care of Joseph's household and raising children. If she is a servant, she's going to leave her mistress behind and will become the mistress of her own home. So it's an exciting and scary time. And she's 13. So I have a niece named Abby who is about Mary's age. When I think of my lovely young niece facing an angel and a miraculous pregnancy, I actually feel nauseous. I am one of Abby's biggest fans, but there is no way she's going to be ready for this. I know times were different back then, but honestly, this is too much for any young woman. Heck, it's too much for an old woman. When I imagine the angel Gabriel appearing to me in the midst of my new marriage and my career and saying, "Greetings, highly favored one," the words that rise up in me are, "Not me, God, and certainly not now." To raise the Savior of the world, to oversee his training and education, to make sure he knows what he needs to know when he needs to know it, to make sure he has all the right experiences, make sure he's signed up for all the best extracurricular activities, to make sure that he has the right values and boundaries in his life so that he can undo all injustice and to restore creation to its right balance. Holy cows. Parenting ordinary people who will become teachers and plumbers and engineers are hard enough. Can you imagine this landing in your lap? So how did she do it? How did she step into this role with such faith and trust? How did she find the courage and the strength to say that giant yes to God? What was going on inside this young woman that allowed her to be a part of the most amazing miracle God ever performed? So I have an idea about this. There are two verses in Mary's story that I want to look at. Mary's story is found in the book of Luke, and we aren't going to be able to do much but just touch that story. So if you want to read her story, read Luke 1 and 2. That will tell you what Mary remembered and ended up sharing to the gospel writers. The two verses are Luke 1, verse 29, and Luke 2, 19. Luke 1 says, "But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be." Luke 2:19 says, "But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart." Now that first verse is her encounter with the angel Gabriel. So when she first is greeted by him, that's her response. And then, more toward the end of her journey, on the night when Jesus is born, right after the shepherds have come to tell her about the angel choir and offer their worship, this is her response. Now, I want you to know that these are rare verses. Seldom in Scripture do we get to see what's going on inside of people's hearts and minds. It's mostly external actions. Once in a while, we'll get a word like this that opens up what's going on inside. Pay attention. Pay attention to those words. Pay attention to those phrases. When you see in Scripture someone's internal life, that's a big deal in ancient writing. So here twice, Luke pulls back the curtain on Mary's inner world, and we find this word pondered. The Greek word here is symbolo. There are several ways that this word is used. It means to confer or to gather together to accomplish something. So this is getting a group of people together, and they could be getting together to fight. Sometimes that's why they've gathered, or sometimes they've gathered to help one another. When it's used for an individual, it means to reflect or to think something through thoroughly. See, the picture I have with those two definitions is that inside of us, there is a large, round conference table. And when we symbolo, we take the time to sit down at that table, and we gather our thoughts, and we gather our feelings to sit at that table with us. And then we listen to them. We try to make sense of what's going on for us by allowing there to be space and time for all those voices to have their say. We turn inward and we have what I call an inner life summit. Let's get everybody in the room and figure out what's going on here. It would appear that Mary has these inner life summits frequently. We're only told of two, but we can imagine dozens beyond that. Even in the midst of this traumatic experience, like an angel appearing to her, she knows how to look inward, to gather her thoughts and her feelings. And notice that Luke has noted this above all the other things he could have told us about Mary. He could have told us that she was sad. He could have told us that she's a big dreamer. Could have told us that she likes animals. There could have been a million things that he told us. But this is what he tells us about her inner life. Mary's ability to fearlessly turn inward and to know what was going on with her was important to her strength and to her ability to welcome God's salvific disruption in her life. Now, I love that second verse especially. Luke uses the word treasured alongside of symbolo. It tells us the nature of these inner summits. These weren't complaining summits or disputing summits. Mary gathered her thoughts and feelings to the table because she thought that they were precious. There was something important there. The message paraphrases this verse this way. Mary kept all these things, holding them dear, deep within herself. It has this idea of her gathering the rich treasure of this part of the life, all of the things that are happening to her, the things she's learning and seeing and experiencing, and she secures them. She gets them in a safe place where they can be a resource for years to come. Now, the Apostle Paul gives us a little further idea about pondering and treasuring. We find this scripture in Philippians 4, 8, and 9. And if you have a Bible with you or a phone and you want to flip to your Bible app, this would be a good scripture to kind of come and rest in. Philippians 4, 8, and 9. It says, "Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Ponder these things. Keep on doing the things you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you." So the Philippians is a letter to Paul's most favorite church, his most beloved church. And he is reminding them and us that when we symbolo or we ponder, there is a focus to these inner summits that's really important. These gatherings within us need to treasure things that are worthy. Again, the message describes these inner summits as focused on things that are noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious. And there's a reason why Paul guides us to make sure that we are focusing, that we are pondering, that we are treasuring things that are so worthy. Because what we treasure will define us. The nature of these inner summits, the focus of them, have the power to create us. They will begin to shape who we are. They will tell us the meaning of things. If we focus on small, ugly, selfish, and cursed things, then we will become that kind of people. In fact, what you treasure this Christmas will define this Christmas for you. You may choose to hold inner summits on meeting the expectations of others. Or you could hold a summit or two about fulfilling your kids' dreams, or even about making beautiful memories. And all of those things are good. There's nothing wrong with that. But are those the best? Are those the most worthy? What do you want this season defined by? What do you want this season to truly be about for you? Mary was busy treasuring all that was going on with Jesus. Now, you could dismiss this treasuring by saying she did have the centering experience of him growing in her own body. That's going to remind her regularly. And she did have an encounter with an angel or two that probably was very helpful for getting her eyes back to what was most important. But I want you to not too quickly dismiss her pondering, because we have a few things that Mary did not. We have the sustained experience of the Holy Spirit centering us, connecting us directly to Jesus Christ and the Godhead. And we have scripture. We have the stories written down for us that can help us refocus on what is most important this season. I wonder what might be able to happen for us if we decided, maybe even today, maybe even before we go to bed tonight, that we're going to choose something intentional to treasure this Christmas. That we think through what we're going to focus on. Maybe we're going to call a few inner summits to ponder what is best and most beautiful and eternal about this holiday. Maybe there's a single word that's going to define this Christmas for us. Or maybe there's a scripture that we're going to meditate on the whole season, savoring that. Today, though, we are being given the opportunity, like Mary, to choose to ponder something that is worth treasuring this season, to ponder something that's worth being shaped by. In this Philippians verse, I also notice in verse 9 that when we ponder these things, the God of peace will be with us. Or another way of saying this is peace equals treasuring what God treasures. When we ponder what God ponders, the result is peace. If you would like a little peace on earth this Christmas, then it'll be important to treasure what God treasures, which does raise a potentially dangerous question. What does God treasure? I wonder where that question could take us this season. It's a dangerous question because we know that often what God treasures and what we treasure can be miles and miles apart. For example, God treasures the poor and the outsider, the marginalized, the brokenhearted, the lonely, and the needy. Sometimes I really just want those people to be fixed and to not demand too much of my time and energy. But his heart is near to them. He is magnetically drawn to the vulnerable in our world. Pastor Mark, a few weeks ago, talked about the Beatitudes. And the Beatitudes tell us that God treasures the hungry and the humble and the grieving and the persecuted. What would Christmas be like if I held some inner summits about them? What if my inner focus shifted so profoundly to treasuring what God treasures that some of my to-do list had to change? There were a few things that aren't moving into to done. The fruits of the Spirit might be another guide. What if we decided that the whole Christmas was going to be about patience or kindness or self-control? We might have to let go of some things like productivity, perfection, and immediate gratification. Our season, though, has this potential to shift toward a peace-producing season if we're willing to let go of some of those other things and wonder, what is it that God wants out of this season? Or maybe, what if we just each decided to sit down and ask God to show us what he's treasuring? Maybe that could actually be a daily prayer for us, asking him, show me today, God, what you're pondering. What's going on when you call the conference of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? What are you talking about? So he might show us some hard things, but if I know anything about God, they'll be beautiful too. There's probably a lot more ways that we could join Mary in treasuring what God treasures. I leave that to your creativity. How will you align your heart this season with his heart so that you can invite peace into your season? So we begin by looking at Mary. And in her quiet way, she invites us to set aside some time for an inner summit or two or eight. We may need to get up early or set aside an appointment in our daily calendar, just write in pondering for this practice. You see, she found pondering so important because she was getting ready for the first coming of the Messiah. She was anticipating that. She was waiting for the arrival of the Messiah to this earth for the first time. She knew Jesus was coming. He was going to change her life, and he was about to change the world she was living in. And Christians ever since have pondered and reflected and waited through Advent for the second coming of Jesus. We look ahead, we too wait like Mary. She waited for the first, we're waiting for that second, that amazing, glorious return in power that the whole world will see, where Jesus will establish his rule and reign. He will restore creation to everything that God meant it to be. And it's in Advent that we practice that waiting, that we learn to wait well for that second coming of the Messiah. I think Mary's story invites us to wait for the third coming of Christ. His third coming is this daily entrance and daily movement in our lives. When we ponder and treasure him, we discover that he is the God who is always coming into each thing that happens, and he is always coming into each thing that does not happen. The clouds of our busyness and obsession with physical things part, and they reveal a Messiah who is gloriously present in our daily lives, in our daily work, and in the daily world. I think Mary's invitation to ponder, to sit at that inner summit and allow what God treasures to be precious to us, opens up the opportunity for us to experience the third coming of Christ each and every day this month. That third coming, where whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable and excellent, visits us and restores us and restores our Christmas to all that God wants it to be. Alleluia. Come, Lord Jesus, quickly come. Please pray with me. Lord God, we just thank you so much for Mary. We thank you for this young woman's ability to call those inner summits, to know who she is and what she's feeling and what's going on here, and in those inner summits to connect so deeply with you that she could welcome you in her life. Lord God, that she could treasure what you treasured. And she was going to need those treasures. She was going on a wild ride of a life where she would watch her son become everything that she thought he was going to be, only to watch it all crash and be destroyed and him die and to fall into absolute pain and despair, only to have him be resurrected and discover that your plan was bigger than anything she ever imagined. She needed those deep, deep resources, Lord. And I want to pray for my brothers and sisters here, my community here, that we would treasure what God treasures, that we would ponder what you ponder, Lord God, so that those resources will be ours too, for whatever the journey ahead is. Thank you, Lord God, that that is possible. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.